from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's episode, poetry and an original story. But first, PJ Squire, a Pittsburgh teen with a feature from the January 17th, 2020 Allegheny Intermediate Unit STEAM Showcase, held at Nova Place on the north side.
Sometimes there's an expectation that the arts and the sciences are two completely opposite things. The sciences are seen as cold and corporate, but highly successful. And the arts are freeing and human. But if you decide to pursue them, you're in danger of becoming the starving artist. Occasionally, you'll hear that science and art are impossible to combine. But when interacting with those in the STEAM fields, you quickly see that isn't the case. Science, technology, engineering, art, and math, shortened to STEAM, is an innovative approach designed to cultivate a love, not only for the sciences, but for learning itself. I'm PJ Squire, a Youth Express intern, and I attended the 2020 AIU STEAM Showcase on January 17th at Nova Place in the North Side. I had the chance to interview STEAM organizations, students, educators, and enthusiasts alike to learn how they're bridging the gap between art and science, and why that connection is so valuable.
Hi, my name is Tyler Samstag, and I am the Director of Instructional Innovation at the Allegheny Intermediate Unit, and I oversee an initiative there called Transform Ed. At the heart of it, it's very engaging. So STEAM is often comes in the form of project-based learning, where students aren't just doing rote memorization or filling out handouts, but instead they're working to solve problems, real-world problems. And it requires you to think cross-disciplines, so you're not just thinking of a problem from a certain perspective, but you're really required to think of it from different approaches.
What Samstag is saying here is really important. Approaching a problem creatively is essential in project-based learning, and this is where STEAM thrives. Before students can solve an issue, they have to understand all the working parts behind it. What do you think of when you hear the word robot? Do you think of science fiction, big expensive machines that are difficult to understand? You'd think that technology like this would be inaccessible to most people, especially kids. But robotics is actually a very common way to introduce STEAM, and a great example of how skills learned in STEAM classrooms apply to other aspects of students' lives.
My name's Joshua Jarvis. I'm with the Carnegie Mellon Robotics Academy. Robotics is a great integrator. We have, you know, all sorts of different things that kind of go into a robot. You could learn about electronics. You could learn about fabrication, 3D printing, building materials, mechanical engineering, design, software, programming as well. So it's really a great integrator of all these things.
What about the students experiencing the STEAM movement firsthand? I talked to a student from Duquesne Elementary who was displaying a guitar he created with his fifth grade class at the showcase.
My guitar is magnetic. So what you could do with it, there's a lever where you could turn it up and make the pitch go higher. Well, Ms. Detweiler, she knows that I like music. So she showed me this and I was like very excited to do it. There's so many things that you could learn about it. And she inspired me of building this.
At face value, fields like engineering and coding can seem intimidating, but the students I talked to at the conference weren't discouraged in the slightest. STEAM isn't memorization or test prep, and it isn't the same for every student. Instead, it allows them to take learning into their own hands.
It helps you learn how to work as a better team when you get older.
I had no clue what to do when I first started, but now that I started doing it, I get used to it and it's really fun.
You can design your own thing and then it can just be yours.
I'm very excited I signed up for this. It's really fun.
For Youth Express, this is PJ Squire.
Now, C.G. Marshall, a senior at Pittsburgh Kappa, with a poem entitled, Removing Our Life Masks.
I wrote this poem. It's called Removing Our Life Masks by C.G. Marshall. and it's about my dad and my relationship with my dad. Mom said in the sanatorium he latched his hands around the nurse's neck, knowing full well this was his time to let go. His whisker-specked life mask flaking in an easy spiral, father, husband, Christian, father, son, all gone, revealing a dismissed id, an entity left burning like a forest fire. My father is not a madman. Mom told me in the sanatorium, I didn't think we'd have to admit you, the back of my neck hot, the whispers begin their scratch again. It's us against them. They won't wrap us in polyester sheet and blind us from the outside. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Nothing's any matter with you. It's the matter with them. We hear the water floods, the thoughts that overflow and stray like sheep. Some stay lost. Some return.
On our last segment, Shai Short, a seventh grader at Woodland Hills High School, with a story written from the perspective of a teen affected by violence.
My name is Shai. This is my story about violence. It's called Jeffrey Brown. Jeffrey Brown was 11 years old when he wrote his first poem. All adults who read his work were highly impressed. Everyone at school thought he had the perfect life, perfect family, and perfect house. To everyone else, he was a perfect kid living in an imperfect world. Most people were jealous, but some people were just happy for the family. Jeffy had as many enemies as friends, but he never let that bother him. He went on with his life and continued to write poems and spread joy to the world. Some people said he could change hearts and even lives. They believe he would be some kind of great. People always wonder how Jeffrey's family got so much money. After all, his dad was a high school teacher and his mom was an assistant for a bus company. On March 25th, Jeffrey Brown was sadly killed. Everyone thought the murder was out of jealousy and aggression. But little do you know, there was so much more to the story. On May 25th, they had the funeral for Jeffrey Brown and everyone was confused as to why his best friend didn't show up. So Jeffrey's girlfriend went to his house to see what was up. When she arrived, she suddenly filled with confusion. The family had been acting like nothing happened, almost if they were happy for Jeffrey's death, almost if they caused it. She ignored the matter and continued through the door. She said, "Where is Timmy?" His father said, "Oh, he's just upstairs finishing his homework." "Oh," she said, but she thought to herself, "Homework on the weekend? Weird." She went upstairs to find him in the corner shaking. She asked and asked what was wrong, but no answer. She ended up leaving and going straight to the police station. She told them what she had seen and that she thought there was more to the story of Jeffrey's death. Since the police were very encouraged to find Jeffrey's killer, they decided to take a look. When he arrived at Timmy's house, they asked where he was. "He just went out," Timmy's father said. "Where to?" the officer said. Timmy's father didn't like this question, the fear of them finding out the truth. After 5 months, they have found out that Timmy's father and Jeffrey's father were involved in drug dealing. That's how they got so rich. It had all made sense now. The police shut down the business, but still hadn't found out who killed him. Everyone had felt that this violence was uncalled for since it was Jeffrey's father's actions. They soon found out that the murderer of Jeffrey was indeed his best friend. They say his father made him do it because Jeffrey's dad cut him short. But others think it was just jealousy. All they can say is the innocent life was taken.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.